Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Lord Jesus Christ that you grant to everyone here precision and insight in your word, that our minds be established and our hearts be focused on the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. That our hearts behold him, your Son, as he sees us in him. Amen. Amen. All right. I want to add some details to the law and the prophets. So pay very good attention. Luke's Gospel 24. Verse 25-27. And he said unto them, O fools, slow of heart, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Then, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. If you pay attention, you see the word prophet comes out twice, both in verse 25 and verse 27. Then again, in verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the psalm, the prophets, and in the psalm concerning me. So let's get back to 25. To believe all that the prophets have spoken. I know in the last aspect of this series, we dealt with that word all. So let's take it a step further. By using the word all, there's a way the English language of today may misrepresent what he's saying. And like I've always said, the English language is more recent. There was an original language with which that letter was written, or that scripture was taken. Now, when you use the word all there, it's a term, P-A-S. I did explain that the last time. And it's not the way we say all, like everything. You know, P-A-S or pass, or pantas, depending on the kind of combination of words you have. It's the word that was used 1,248 times, approximately, there's a margin of error there, where you have a whole part of something, then you talk about each of, or actually you are, in using part here, you are saying like every. So, or each of, something like that in that text, you know, kind of, you know, all of. Like, because there you are picking out something specifically. All of. That is, amongst everything said, we are now selective. It's now selective. Together, we now call them all. Now, that is, it's each part that makes a whole. A whole one. Now, looking carefully at that, because some have assumed that what it means is that the prophets spoke about Jesus. All they said was about Christ. That's a very wrong submission. And one of the reasons why we want to get a bit more detailed in this series. Now, notice some instances where this word was used. And of course, you have to look at it very objectively. Look at Philippians 4:13, for example. Philippians 4:13. Philippians 4:13. Because we must be able to know that Jesus' study here was very biased. It wasn't all-inclusive. Philippians 4:13. It says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. By saying, I can do all things, now go, use the word path, I can do every of these things. Right? Come on. Now, every of what? That means you are talking about a part of the whole. Look at 12. 12 is where you have every. You will always see it within the context of what he said. Because when you say all will be very careless. If you just mean all, I can do all things. I can steal through Christ that strengthens me. I can, you know, that just definitely can't be what he's saying. Now, 12 says, if I let's start from 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. There to be content. I know both. So So that's the word, both. How to be abased. I know how to be abound. How many things? How many things? Two. Good. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and hungry. How many things? Four. Both to abound and to suffer. How many things? I can do each of these things. Is it better? Huh? Is it better? Through Christ that strengthens me. So you must look for the past. Where is the past in what he's saying? Full, hungry, abased, abound, respect of want, and to also have. So you must be able to say, this is what he's talking about. So you must break down the past. So I can abound through Christ that strengthens me. I can abase through Christ that strengthens me. I can have, may not have. Do you get it? I can be full and I can be hungry. Does it make sense? Okay, that's how the word path should be used more intelligently. Also, look at 1 Corinthians 3. verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Okay? All things are yours. What? Each of these things are yours. Whether Paul, can you see? Apollos, Cephas, the world, life, death, things present or things to come, all are yours. You are Christ and Christ is God. Can you see? Each of these things. Is it making sense? Okay? Let's take two more. Romans 8:32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him freely give us all things of each of these things? Very clear. We start, the word things will be from 28. All things, all these things, or each of these things works together for good to them who love God. What are the things? He did foreknow, verse 29, he predestined to be conformed to the image of the Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Then moreover, added to that, whoever he predestinated, that is the Son, those who are conformed to the Son, they are called. Those who are called are justified, they are glorified. What shall we say then, verse 31, to this thing? So, it's actually each of those things. Is it very clear? Alright, so, shall he not freely give us predestination? You now say it. You must call out what the all refers to, one by one. Is that very clear? So it's not a loose statement where you can imagine what he's saying. There's nothing to imagine. Within the text, you will see the past of the things. Is that very clear? One more. Ephesians 1:3. I'm going to make a distinction shortly. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with each of these spiritual blessings, alright, in heavenly places where? In Christ. According as he has chosen. So, he lists out each of them, one by one. So, the word past is not an open check to include what you think. It's specific. Now, the other variation of that word, so you must see that. That Ephesians 1:3 is very important. So you will not impute what you are saying. There's nothing in scripture that gives you the opportunity to put your idea. It's a closed-ended statement. Scripture is a closed-ended statement. That is, you will see the beginning, you will see the middle, you will see the very end. There's no room for, adding something. Like we always say, opposite of interpretation is innovation. You are very creative. Don't be creative. Just say what is there. Scripture can never be today what it never meant the day it was written. I like something Tony Cook said. He said, we should not start saying things that even the audience did not have in their minds when they were reading the letter. That is, Ephesus will say, what are you talking about? The same letter? And then you must get innovative in what he was saying. Now look at something that was a variation, 1 Corinthians 14. Now, look at the 23. If therefore the whole church, now that's a different word, that's the word holos, H-O-L-O-S, the Reverend Past, the whole church. Now, if Jesus had used the whole for the prophets, that would mean everything there. Is that clear? The word whole there is holos, H-O-L-O-S, which is the complete or total. Different from past. Complete or total. This one is used 110 times. Go back to Luke 24. O fools, slow of heart to believe the complete things the prophet said. No. Specific things that they said. Does it make sense? Now, why did he use that? Ought not Christ to have suffered what? This. Can you see it now? Specific. These things. Because there was a discussion about Christ's death and resurrection, which was being assumed that maybe it didn't happen. So he said, these things. So Jesus zeroed his definition of the utterance of the prophets to two things. Two things. So that means he went to their writings and picked out two things here. These things, and to enter into his glory. These things. Suffered and entered into his glory. So the same way in Ephesians 1:3, we're able to pick out all the spiritual blessings. Here again, we'll narrow down what he taught to two things. Is it very clear? Two things. Nothing here at this point will give us an idea that he mentioned the indwelling. Is that very clear? So, as exhaustive as this appears to be, it may not be as exhaustive as you think. It is, again, narrowed down, because he was responding to a query in their heart. So, again, we have to go back, because we've done some study on the law. We might get back to the issue of the law either next year or year after, because we still have to look at the law again. We've laid foundation for the law. So when we get back on the law, you will know what, when we say the law, you won't have a problem with that. We'll get back to that either next year or 2019. Now, look at this. He mentions prophets two times. In fact, the way he said it, to believe all that the prophets, then he brings out Moses in 27 and again 44. So, let's zero in on the word prophets. Critical? That the word prophets, because he's talking from the Old Testament, features about 338 times, either in the singular or the plural, in the Old Testament books. The term, the word, not just the actions now, not the actions now, the term, between 334 and 338, there's some marginal error there, that maybe 2 plus 2 or plus 3 and all that, is expected. And the first time you see it will be Genesis 20, and it was first used for Abraham. Genesis 20 and verse 7. Now therefore restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet. He shall pray for you. He is a prophet. Is the word Nabai, N-A-B-I-Y, or Nabia, N-A-B-I-Y-A. Nabai or Nabia, used for an inspired speaker, someone who speaks. I will explain that shortly. We'll break down the word a little bit. Someone who speaks. Now, let's look at how it was used. In Exodus chapter 7, verse 1, I want you to look at this very well. This is Moses and Aaron. The Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee a God, the word is judge or ruler to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy spokesperson. Is that very clear? Shall be what? Your spokesperson. Why say your? Because you will inspire him, you will tell him what to say. That's what prophet Nabai. He will be your spokesperson. Numbers 12 verse 6. Hear now, if there be a prophet among you, I the Lord will make known unto him in myself in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. A prophet. So he mentions a dream and a vision. Deuteronomy chapter 13. And verse 1. Now, I want us to notice this one. This is a very important text. If there arise among you a spokesperson or a dreamer of dreams and gives thee a sign or a wonder, listen carefully to what he says here. And the sign or wonder comes to pass, whereof he speaks unto thee. That is, after it now comes to pass. So, it puts dreams and visions as secondary. Shortly, you see. That is, what he shows you now comes to pass. Saying, then he now says to you, let us go after gods, which you have not known, and let us serve them. Look at verse 3. Thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet, or the dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proves you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Verse 5. And that prophet or dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to thrust thee out of the way with the Lord thy God commanded to walk in, so that thou shalt put the evil away from the midst of thee. So can you see that the visions became secondary? Is that very clear? Because primarily, he is a spokesperson. Okay? They become secondary. He lets you know that you don't judge a prophet by visions. Is it clear? You judge a prophet by his utterance. Look at chapter 18, verse 15. Now, this is Moses. The Lord thy God will raise unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me. Unto him you shall hearken. You shall listen to him. So, when you read, this is my beloved son, who I will please hear him, is a restatement of this statement. You will hear him. So, Moses directs the whole nation to a particular person. Verse 20. Okay, verse 18. I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, I will put my words in his mouth, and he will speak unto them all that I have commanded him. Verse 20. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in that my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even the prophet shall die. So you can see the strong thing about what they say. When a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, the thing follow not. If the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. But the prophet that has spoken righteously shall not be, thou shalt not be afraid of him. So, it makes it vital to test prophets, spokespersons. Very, very vital. Now, again, we said the word is Nabai, which is two words, or primarily from one word, Naba, N-A-B-A. Naba means to speak by or to speak for. To speak by or to speak for. So, a prophet is secondary in the sense of he does not speak for himself. Naba. Now, that's taken from the word Naftah, Nataph, N-A-T-A-P-H, which means to inspire. Nataph. It has also been used for, falling in drops. That is, the way, water falls on someone and person is cooled and all that. So, there's inspiration behind it. So, it's not something he thinks of. It's not a response. It must be seen as something he is inspired to say. So, he becomes a voice for another. So, the writer of Moses picks out a very key definition. That the moment we see that he turns us away, he's not saying he's not a prophet, but he turns us away from serving the Lord. He said, you reject it. So, that means there is a test. Or there was a test that delayed about, you know, speaking for and speaking from. It's not visions. Is it very clear? It remains what? Utterance. Is that clear? Okay. So hold that somewhere. In the four Gospels, the word prophet is used 95 times. Again, there's imaginal error. Other plus or minus. Then you have Jesus mentioned it 45. So, Jesus mentioned prophet a lot of times. 45 times. In the book of Acts, the word prophet is used 31 times. Of course, in the Greek, the word is prophetes. P-R-O-P-H-E-T-E-S. Prophetes. Which is the direct transliteration of Nabai. 31 times. In all of the epistles, 22. 22. And that's not difficult to know why. Because already the epistles have the explanation. So you cannot again make those who spoke about Christ prominent in your writing. Is that very clear? They will be referred to, but they no longer become prominent. Is that clear? Uh-huh. Now, 22 times, want to see that number of times. Okay? In the New Testament. That's the epistles. In this part, many don't know a distinction. I want to make a small distinction. Now, when the word prophet refers to the Old Testament prophet, you will see it in the following text of scripture. Romans 1:2. Romans 1:2. I'll start from 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called an apostle, separate unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. That's the Old Testament. Romans 1:2. Then Romans 3:21. But now, the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophet. I need this term, law and prophet, much later. Romans 11:3. They have killed thy prophets. All this again refers to the Old Testament. That prophets now are persons. This is the statement that Elijah made. Romans 11:3. Romans 16:26. Now is it manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets, that's the Old Testament, according to the command of the blessed God, made known to all nations for the obedience of the faith. Then 1 Thessalonians 2:15. So there seems to be a dominance of that word in which particular book? Romans, very good. And in references again to the righteousness of God and the gospel. 1 Thessalonians 2:15. Who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. Again, their own prophets, that's Israel. Is that very clear? Because he mentioned Judea in verse 14. Hebrews 1:1. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spoke in time past by the prophets. Or better still, we start that place, who at the sundry times and diverse spoke in time past to the fathers. In the prophets. Okay? The prophets who spoke to the fathers. Then God, as in these last days, verse 2, spoken to the Son. So verse 1 refers to the prophets, verse 2 refers to God. Make sure you make that adjustment. I've done that before. That's the Old Testament again. Hebrews 11:32. What shall I say more? For the time will fail me to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David and Samuel and of the prophets. So notice again that all those folks that were called judges were referred to as what? Prophets. You know that by the admission of Moses, he called himself what again? A prophet. A prophet like unto me. Do you understand? Is that very clear? So it can be used generically, you know, for folks who spoke. And then you see that. Then James 5, verse 10. My brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering and of patience. The prophet in the Old Testament. James 5:10. 1 Peter 1:10. We're going to stay on this one tomorrow for a while. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and said, the lady who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. That's the Old Testament again. Second Peter 3, verse 2. Now you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophet, thee, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Makes a distinction there. So that's a reference to Old Testament prophets. Let's get to New Testament prophets now. The first you are going to see is 1 Corinthians 14:37. Let's say that. 12:28. 12:28. God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondly prophets. Then verse 29, are all prophets. Are you there? Then 1 Corinthians 14, verse 29. Let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. Verse 32. The spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophet. Men. 32. Verse 37. If any man thinks himself to be a prophet of scripture, let him acknowledge the things that are written to you at the command of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 14:37. Ephesians 2:20. Ephesians 2:20. And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 3:5. Which in other age was not made of men, but is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. Ephesians 3:5. Ephesians 4:11. He gave some prophets. Then 2 Peter 2:1. Now, this is not a nice one. They are false prophets. False prophets. Pseudo prophets. False prophets. So they are also false prophets. Then 1 John 4:1. Many false prophets, 1 John 4:1, have gone into the world. Many false prophets. So we have the present tense prophets. And we have the prophets that were in the past. So you must make that distinction as you study it. So there were when you hear the prophet of the Old Testament, it refers to their writings. Is that very clear? When you now read of the prophets of the New Testament, it refers to their actions or their present day ministry. So make that very clear distinction. And it's not the same thing. Now look at the term again that Jesus used. The law. Okay, let's quickly do something. How many do we have referring to present day prophets? 1, 2. Oh, I forgot one. Titus 1:12. I'm sorry. Titus 1:12. Of one of themselves, even a prophet of their own. That is not a prophet of the church. The Christians are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. Now, so how many times do we have that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, right? 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Then you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Because there's a repeat, here. So you have 11, 11. So you have 11 for Old Testament prophets, 11 for the prophets of the church, that is the epistles. No, not 11 for the church. You have fake prophets. You have Titus 1:12. You have 2 Peter 2:1 and 4. So we have, that would be what? 8.
Very good. Okay.
So 8. Now look at the term law and prophets. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. That would make sense. Come and be destroying human beings. So when you say law and prophets, it refers to what?
Yeah, right. It's very good.
To destroy the law and the prophets. So those terms are taken together. Matthew 7:12. All things whatsoever you shall do, that men do, should do to you, even so do ye even so to them. For this is the law and prophet. It's taken together as one. This is the law and prophet. Matthew 7:12. Then Matthew 11:13. This is critical. So it's like, when you say law and prophet, just like we read in Romans 3:21, they are taken together. You are referring to the entire Old Testament. Is that very clear? That Old Testament is inferred. So it's either we are going to see, we're going to see whether we are going to apply the and rule, that is the law which refers to the prophets, or two distinct things. Are you following me? Huh? Verse 13. For all the law, all the prophets and the law, so this is a change. What's the change? Prophets come first. And the law prophesied straight unto John. How can the law prophesy unto John? So obviously, the word law and prophet refer to individuals. Is that clear? What was written and said by men. Is it clear? So don't think the law and prophets is referring there, refers to symbolisms of Moses' law. No. Obviously, law and prophet refers to what is written. Is that very clear? The scripture. Now say again. Matthew 22, yep, and verse 40. On these commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Old Testament scripture. Now let's drive some things home a bit. Luke 16:16. And the law and the prophets were until John, since the time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man pressed into it. So, in talking about the law and prophets, he's talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God that they preached. Luke 16:29. Abraham said unto him, that was in the parabolic story of Jesus, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them what? Hear them. So far what we have read is not what to do, it's what to what? Hear. Because when you hear the word here, the word to heed to something. To give a message, and then to heed to it, will be the intent of what he's saying. So every time you see the word law, don't imagine he's talking about giving instructions to follow. Is it very clear? You must look at the text. For example, we said the law and the prophets prophesied. You know, that's similar to Romans 3:21. We've been witnessed by what? The law and the prophets. Referring again to something that was said about Jesus. Is it very clear? Let me give you what this means. Because when you use the word nomos or nomad, where you have the law, is to scribble something that should be done or will be done. So, because of the availability of language back then, you get it? It will carry the same semblance of the word grapho. You get it? Which is where you have scriptures. So he's not referring to a law to obey, but rather what has been written. So we have to be close. We have to look at it closely to say what he's talking about. For example, you remember Paul once said that, hear what the law says. Abraham had two sons. That definitely was not referring to a commandment. It's hear what has been written. Is it very clear? See this. So the nomos, which is the written law, also can refer to scriptures and prophets. So when Jesus said in, get back to Matthew 5, I'm come to destroy the law, which is the word kataluo. It means to overthrow, to destroy the law. Kataluo, to overthrow something. Obviously, he's not talking about persons there. He's referring to what they wrote. Okay? I've not come to destroy, but to fulfill. To fulfill. Now, when you use the word fulfill, it means to complete something. To fulfill. I mean, let me explain what it means. Yeah, fulfill means to complete. I think it's simple enough. To complete, to conclude. So, by making that statement, Jesus declared the Old Testament inconclusive. Is that very clear? Is it very clear? Notice he didn't say, I'm come that you may fulfill the law. Look at the pronoun. I. To conclude it. That is to bring it to a conclusion. So already, it lets us see the Old Testament as a journey. It's a journey. So, I'm come to fulfill it. It's like a race. And so this is the end of this race. So, I'm come to plero to fulfill it. So, in other words, by saying he is the fulfillment, that means he becomes a string that binds them together. Now, their experiences are not the same. So, the judgment in instances in those ages will differ. Their nuances are not the same. Their culture, not the same. Their times and seasons were not the same. From Genesis to Malachi. But their expectation was the same. So, in my study of the Old Testament, referring to the law and the prophet, I will need to, allow me to use the word cherry, pick the expectation. It is the expectation that is united, not the experiences. So, the expectation, because it says, I am come to fulfill it. So, there was an expectation. So, therefore, in all the ages where those things were written, what was left will be Christ. Is that very clear? In all the ages. So, a careless student of the Bible should know how to study them. We can say, the missing piece will be Christ. And so, you will find a hole in their writings. That hole is the epistles. Is it very clear? I ran to the end, I'm coming back. The hole is the epistles. That gap, there is a gap in the entire Old Testament. So imagine somebody living in it. He will live with a gap. There's a gap. So,
And it's quite. Look at Matthew 11. Let's zero in on something. This is John the Baptist. Okay, look at verse 9. What you went out to see, a prophet, yea, I say unto you, more than a prophet. Actually, the word more than is just one word. Greater, a greater prophet. So, Jesus calls John a greater prophet. A greater prophet. Look at verse 10. It is he of whom it is written, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Look at verse 11. Verily I say unto thee, among them that are born of women, they are not risen as though some can be born of men. A greater than John the Baptist. Of course, he makes that distinction in being born of the Spirit. A greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now. Okay? The kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent took it by force. You see, this is a problem of grammar. How can I say this is the kingdom of John the Baptist up there now? Do you get it? So rather from those days until now, the time of John the Baptist. He's talking about from the prophet till John the Baptist, not up till now, 2017. Is that very clear? The kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven has taken beating. Do you get it? Okay. And the violent taken it by force. He says, for the law and the prophet prophesied until when? Until John. So, Jesus distinguished prophets. A greater. He distinguished John. So, prophets can be distinguished. He classified, then he now redefined him. And said the least is greater. So there was a marking scheme. Let's get back to Luke 24. Verse 25. So, again, who is the most ranked prophet of the Old Testament? So they all prophesied until John. So, John was the last person who prophesied. So that means John did not just speak about an event that will happen. John also picked out the fulfillment of the event. What we can call in today's parlance, he had a word of knowledge. This. So, look at this more. So, is he rating John the person or John's utterances? Oh, very good. That means you were listening. Rating what? John's utterances. Just like Moses told us that what you should focus on is what? What? Your first. We read that earlier, right? Okay. So, Luke 24. To believe all the prophets have spoken, the prophets. Okay. Then he says, that is, he has a, there's a class of people, the prophets. Then he says 27, and beginning, so sorry, 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? This is vital. He plays with words. Ought not Christ. Okay? Is the word they, D-I, in the Greek, which is why you pronounce it like die. It refers to a duty. You know, we said there's a missing piece. So, that means they prophesied a duty. An obligation. Remember I said, I'm not come to destroy the law, but to what? Fulfill. So, an obligation. So again, in studying the Old Testament book, I must look out for, what again? The missing gap, which will be an obligation. So, ought not Christ to have suffered these things? Don't forget the emphasis. And when you use the word these things, it's the word outhous, H-O-U-T-O-U-S, which is an emphasis. That means you must look back and forward to see the emphasis. Suffer these things. There was a discussion when they were talking about Jesus and said he was killed. They said, you should have noticed that there was a death. Only one person would die in all of the prophets. You should have noticed. So they were not paying attention. They were just reading and reading and reading. And you know, again, in the minds of the average Jew, what they saw about Christ was more of the kingdom. They were not paying attention to the suffering. So, his study picked that out for them. That there was a gap for the sufferings. So in 27, he says, beginning at Moses and all of the prophets, he expounded unto them in all of the scriptures. Now, was Christ in all of the scriptures? Huh? So, all of which scriptures? Is it all of the Old Testament? No. Are you following this? That's how we started now. Wait. Is it all of the Old Testament? Specific texts. Is it very clear? PAS. You've forgotten PAS. Now. Specific texts. So, Jesus was not speculating. He knew where those gaps were. Is it very clear? Is it clear? Okay. So, is it all that was written or specific things written? Huh? Now, let me ask another thing. Is it all of the prophets of the Old Testament or what was written? Very good. Very good. So, it's not all of the Old Testament that he did the study. Obviously, it's all of the books, but he jumped verses. Right? Because this study was specific. This study is about an obligation. So, he skipped verses. Are we still here? Okay. That's how we started. We looked at the word all. He skipped verses. He didn't take them through every line of the Bible and say, this is me. You are seeing double. Is it very clear? So, again, alright, the prophets, the things concerning himself. So, was he selective? Was he all-inclusive? Huh? No. He was selective. That means there were some things he didn't talk about. That means there are some things he ignored. Is that very clear? He skipped some text. He went to others. When we get, I think it's Thursday, when we begin to look at this, you will know how to pick, because we might zero in on the book of Psalms if we have time. Just zero in on the book of Psalms. The Psalms of David. Not just David, anyway. So, it lets us see the prophets. Now, of course, when you come to the word prophet in the epistles, or sorry, in the Greek, it's the word prophetis, which is taken from two words. Pay attention. Pro, theme, pro, which is P-R-O, which is before or earlier. To say something before or earlier. Then the word phemi, P-H-M-I or P-H-I-M-I, which is to declare something. So, that means the prophet's work in the Old Testament was to make you see something. To make you see something. Now, is it everything that they made people see that was about Jesus? Huh? Come on. No. This is specific. So, to give light about an event to take place. So, in this instance, it will be what again? Zero it down. Huh? That'll be specific. The death of Christ, his burial, and obviously his resurrection. In this context, there is nothing in this context that teaches the new birth. Is it very clear? The new birth is in fact, but this is not the focus. Is it very clear? Okay. So, they make us see. That's why John will open and say, the beginning was the Word was with God, that's the Logos. It's not difficult to see what John was saying there. The Logos, and the Logos was God, and the same was in the beginning with God, John 1-2, and all things were made by Him. Without Him was anything made that was made. Of course, you know by now, he's not talking about all the cars were made by Him. He's referring to the things said were for Him. In Him was life. The life was what? The light of men. So, is he dealing with the Old Testament prophets? Huh? Talk to me. The light that was the light of men in the Old Testament will be found where? In the law and where? The prophets. You clear? So the light that shines in darkness and the darkness couldn't comprehend will be found where? In the Old Testament. Then there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came to bear witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not the light, but it came to bear witness of the light. The true light that lights every man which cometh into the world. So, referring again to the Old Testament period, then he says, he came to his own. That's the four gospels. His own received him not. Sorry, he came to the world, even though the world was made by him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own received him not. Praise God. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power. Again, he's still referring to the four gospels. To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So, it therefore means that all the prophets of the Old Testament were light bearers. Light bearers of who? Huh? Of who? Of the light. That means their light was to point you to the light. They were light bearers. So primarily, we will weigh prophets by action or by words? By actions or by words? By words. So let's look at something. Go back to that Matthew 11. In your carnal mind, you want to hug the Old Testament exploits. You get it? But something happened here that I think I want us to spoil up our minds in purity in Matthew 11, verse 9. More than a prophet, that says, for he, this is he, of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee.
Very clear. Here, obviously, he's talking about John. So we want to see something. Look at Malachi 3:1. What's unique about this? Did you notice that this was a prophet prophesying about another prophet? Are you following? John's ministry was so unique that it became close to prophesying about Jesus. Are you following me? Huh? This was about John, a messenger. So John's ministry was authenticated by a prophet. And he was a prophet. Malachi 3:1. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come into his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant, whom you delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So, he refers to that messenger. Are you following this? Go back to Matthew 11. Verse 14. 13 says, for all the prophets and the law prophesied to John, and if you receive it, this is Elijah, which was for to come. This is Elijah, which was for to come. So, John is called what? Huh? Ah. Elijah. Matthew 17. I like your disciples. They are curious, but it's nice. Look at verse 1. After 6 days, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John, his brother, and brings them up into an high mountain apart. Then he was transfigured before them. You know the story. Then behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elijah, talking with him. Then answered Peter, and he said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make 3 tabernacles. We have 3 tabernacles for one. One for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. While he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved son, God, please hear him. Hear him. The disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were so afraid. Then he said, they said, if you hear someone, you are afraid. Verse 7. And Jesus came and told him, and said, arise and be not afraid. That's very clear. Hear and not be not afraid. And when they saw no man, he said Jesus only, and they came down from the mountain, Jesus said, tell no man, tell this vision to no man. Some guys will just use Facebook. Come and see today. Until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And the disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elijah must first come? Because they knew that. Then he answered and said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come. Because that was the prophecy of Malachi. And restore all things. Wow. We're not giving John much. Are you there? And he says, but I say unto you, that Elijah is come already. So they say, that's Elijah. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. Look at verse 13. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of who? Okay. So, what they say on Mount Transfiguration, was that Elijah of the Old Testament, or he spoke of John the Baptist? That was very fast. Are you sure? I'll give you some time to think about it. Because we know that whatever they saw there wasn't the person, it was what? The office. So, was the office Elijah of the Old Testament, who we are about to see, may come to nothing. Because what we are going to deal with will be what? And you and I know that other bros. Are you following this? Are you getting this? Okay, let's move further.
So, did Jesus identify John as Elijah? Huh?
Okay, you don't have any stress with that one. That's fine.
Okay. Look at Mark 9:12. Let's just see some Mark 9:12. So Elijah can be seen as a person and also an office. Is it clear? Is it very clear? Okay, Mark 9:12. Elijah verily cometh forth and restores all things, and how it is written of the Son of Man that he must suffer many things and be set at naught. Verse 13. And I say unto you that Elijah is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed as is written of him. Okay. That's again Mark, just the same thing. Look at Luke 1. Luke 1 17. I read Mark 9. Mark 9. 10. Luke 1 17. Some folks are still asked, they are still calling themselves Elijah. It's so sad. Luke 1:17. Look at John. This was about John. And the angel made some sense. Verse 13. The angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. For thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. You know how angels talk. Shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall turn to the Lord their God. And he shall go before him in the power and spirit of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the disobedient to pay attention, and disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared to the Lord. Now, imagine, how can you say you are turning the hearts of fathers to the children? To be their father. Huh? Some say, I have the means of Elijah. I'm turning the hearts of... You are tired. What did he mean? And disobedient to the wisdom of the just. To make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Everything is to turn people's hearts to who? To Jesus. Is it clear? So, the children there, which will give us a slight problem, and should not, cannot be Israel. It has to be the Lord. Is it clear? And the just will also be what? Wisdom of the just, or the insight. The word wisdom, actually, the insight of the just will also refer to Jesus. Because everything John did was turn their sense to who? Not the hearts of the spiritual fathers to their spiritual children. So, to make ready a people, we'll see that shortly. Now, look at Malachi 4. This is the Elijah we should be talking about, not the other exploit guy. Malachi 4, verse 4. Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Oreb for all Israel with the statutes and judgment. Now, you need to check the Oreb he's talking about here. I will just give you the text. Exodus 3, verse 1, where the Lord first appeared to Moses. Exodus 17, verse 6. But very vitally, Exodus 33, verse 6, where he says, show me your glory. So stay with that one, it will become relevant. Exodus 33, verse 6. Show me your glory. That's Oreb too. Not Sinai, Oreb. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 10 and 15. Let's see that one. Let's see Exodus 33, verse 6 first. Some of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount Oreb. Okay? And then you read on and on and on. The tabernacle, which, then in verse
18 said, I beseech thee, show me your glory. Now, when he said this, God spoke to him words. So look at the outcome of that. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verse 10. I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days of their life, that they may live upon the earth, and they may teach their children. So this is the closest. Now, notice some very vital instructions. Look at verse 15. Take it therefore good heed unto yourselves, for you saw no manner of similitude on the day the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of figure, the likeness of male and female, drawing dove. Verse 17. You are a dove for Holy Spirit. In your own spirit that will be a dove. 18. The likeness of anything that creeps on the ground and likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath. So, basically he's saying that what you heard were what? Is that very clear? Is it very clear? Okay. That is, when Moses said, show me your glory, all he heard were what? Is it very clear? Is it very clear? Not any image. So, Malachi 4, which I commanded thee in the Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. That's right. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming and the great and dreadful day of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers of the children, their children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Don't mind Malachi. There's always a lest in the words of the prophet. We'll see why. So, there was an Elijah that was prophesied in Malachi 4:5. Please pay attention. His work was to show Jesus. So this was a prophet that was prophesied about. Is it very clear? Now, he says, you know, we read Luke 1:17, he says, it will come in the power and the spirit of Elijah. He's not talking about a reincarnation. Now, the name Elijah is not just restricted to one person. This is just for reference. You see it in 1 Chronicles 8:27. 1 Chronicles 8:27. Ezra 10:21. 1 Chronicles 8:27. Different people called Elijah in the Old Testament. Then Ezra 10:26. So there were different people, you know, that were called Elijah. So that means the issue was not Elijah the Tishbite. It had to do with the significance of the name and the office it carries. This is very clear. So it's not reincarnation. Good. Now, of course, the person we are referring to is John, whose name is the word Donan. Donan. J-O-H-O-N-A-N-A-N. J-O-H-O-N-A-N-A-N. Which, you know, just means, you know, Jehovah is gracious. He is gracious. Please pay attention to something. Jehovah is gracious. Donan. He is gracious. Or Yahweh, that's actually better. Yahweh is gracious. That's John. That's the John called Elijah. Now, go back to that Luke 1:17. He will go before him in the power, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the heart. The word there is epistrepho, E-P-I, S-T-R-E-P-H-O. E-P-I, S-T-R-E-P-H-O. To turn the heart, that is, that's a word used for a turnaround. You know, John came and talked about repentance. Repentance to who? Jesus. Is it clear? Now, notice that. It turns Israel to Jesus. and is called the greater of the prophets, which summarizes the ministry of all the prophets of the Old Testament. To turn people's hearts to where? Christ. It seems that his ministry primarily corrects the ministry of the prophets. Now, Jesus made mention of that Elijah we all know. In Luke 4, verse 24. For verily I say unto you, no prophet is acceptable or accepted in his own country, but I tell you of the truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save Zarephath, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. 27. And many lepers, that's Elisha now, were in Israel in the time of Elijah, the prophet. And none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. Now this was saying in, was teaching honor, that they were not honored. Okay? Now, maybe this was why their prophet's ministry was very, very, very insignificant eventually. But that's all to them. That's all. Miracle. Now, in Luke 9:55, there's more. Luke 9:55. Remember the disciples told Jesus in 54, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them as Elijah did? A doing. 2 Kings 1:10 and 12. Then he turned and rebuked them and said, you know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save. Can you say this was also the ministry of John? Was John's ministry to point them to Jesus? Huh? Okay. Did Elijah do that? Okay. The Elijah you like, did he do that? Did Elijah do that? Say all you like. John did not destroy anybody. John did that. So, maybe in our mind, there's a correction of who Elijah really is. Original Elijah is John. Correct Elijah. That other one is a bad example of Elijah. Right? So, there seems to be a correction. Now, notice what he's supposed to do. Luke 1. He will make ready. Luke 1:17. He will make ready a people. Etoimazo. Etoimazo. The same word in John 14:2. To prepare a place. It means to create a space. He will make ready a people, or will make ready a people prepared for the Lord. So, why is he called the greatest prophet? Is it clear now? Because he turned people's hearts to where? Jesus. It was John that made Jesus' ministry easier. Allow me to use that very loose word. He made a way for Jesus. He did. And added to that was the fact that he actually validated him. And he did it publicly. So why did Jesus call him the greatest prophet? Why? By his utterance. What he said. By his utterances. You pick out all his utterances. Jesus quoted him in Acts 1, 4, and 5 by his utterance. In fact, John said there was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came to bear witness of the light. And you know, up till that issue came up with him in prison, he turned the attention away from himself all the time. All of the time. Israel was known to be hugging prophets. He said, don't look at me. I am not worthy to untie the latchet of his shoes. He said that consistently. So, he pointed them, he said, for this reason I might come to baptize to present to Israel. I mean, he said that he was emphatic in what he said. And Jesus calls him the greatest of the prophets based on the revelation he had. Don't forget what Moses said. So if there's a prophet whose utterance, can I remember? He sees dreams, he said that. So Moses gave us the leeway to discard all those things that even he himself did. That what we need to pay attention to will be what? What they said. What they said, pointing us to who? The Lord. Are you following this? Look at Elijah. This is very interesting, Elijah. Verse 2, Romans 11. God has not cast away his people which he foreknew. What you know that the scripture said of Elijah? Don't forget, which Elijah now? That other one. How he makes intercession to God against Israel. Saying, Lord, they have killed all their prophets and dig down their altars. I'm left alone and they seek my life. He's by himself. Then the Lord said, I've reserved to myself 7,000 men that have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. So the answer. So it seems that this guy just got rebuked all over the place. Except his prayer life. And what was prayer life? He shut down. I'll leave that for another time. So there seems to be really no words of his has substance of Christ. None. Making rain to fall and not fall, that's not a substance of Christ. But that's the substance of men. So he didn't carry as much weight as legalistic people are giving him today. There was too much disclaimer for that guy. Imagine, in the same scripture, somebody else is now called Elijah. So we can say, the correct Elijah is John. There's a good Elijah, he's a nice guy, he's okay. But there is the Elijah. The Elijah we reckon with is not from Tishman. He's not Tishman. Are we there? While you are celebrating himself and the prophets of Baal, can we please celebrate the Elijah? So it's called the greatest of the prophets because what he said is utterance. So again, that will mean that Jesus' study in the Old Testament was not for miracles, signs, and wonders. Is it clear? It wasn't about miracles, signs, and wonders. They were there. He made references to them. But that study that was for faith was about the sufferings of Christ. And then he will enter into his glory. Someone said that it was amazing that when you want to understand the work of ministry, you go and study the Old Testament. That's when you get the grace for ministry. And the scripture is used, who prophesied of the grace that will come with you. People are very innovative. But Pentecostals are wonderful. And people will say, oh! Oh! I mean, I believe that those things are actually groaning. Really. Literally. Oh! You know, we grow to be clothed upon. Now, what are we still doing here? We kind of person, oh!
Luke 24. Luke 24. Let's go there. Come on. He says, he expounded unto them, okay, in all of the scriptures, verse 27, which is the word diameneo. You know that word, D-I-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-O. D-I-E-R-M-E-N-E-U-O. Now, when you look at that word, we've done the study of that word already, so I'll just pick out something important. That it was taken from there's a particular person that the diameneo was used for. It's the word emes, H-E-R-M-E-S, a messenger. One who is given to tell of another person. It's a tell of. So it was used for in Greek mythology for those who tell you what the unseen is saying. You know, used for deities. So in looking at the scriptures, Jesus basically he expounded. That is, there were things that they did not see. So, by using this word, Jesus has already created a pathway of Bible study of the Old Testament. This is a pattern the apostles used to write the epistles. That is why they did not comment on every event of the Old Testament. They were not supposed to. Are you getting this? You could refer to them, but your doctrine is specific. So, they stayed on certain issues. So that means, now when you use Hermes, you are explaining words. You are not explaining actions. Words. So, Jesus was explaining words. He didn't say, the rod is Christ. You know, there's nothing like that. He didn't say, you know what I'm going to say? Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent, so is the Son of Man a serpent to be. Is that what he said? The guy he was yarning with, he said, we speak of earthly things, you don't get it. I mean, that's in Nigeria, that's your sobbing. The guy is an emoji. Great emoji, dear emoji. He said, dear emoji, you are still struggling. We are speaking of earthly things, you are very. What if we do proper teaching? He will be lost forever. Lord, this exegesis is too much. Context, in text. Just say it plainly. It's going to come. As Moses lifted up the serpent, I recognize that. So, must the Son of Man. He didn't say that Moses lifted up Jesus. Is it very clear? The same way that all the animals in the Old Testament practices. Okay? Pay attention. You know, they were offered in the temple to God. Eventually, of course, we can explain them as symbolizing Christ. But that will be to a baby. But if we step up a little bit, we say actually it further shows the confusion in the minds of those folks. Because the offering was not for God. That's why John said the Lamb of God. That changes the entire pattern. Not the Lamb for God. It's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. So, if God is not the sin, the Lamb was not offered for God. Is that clear? So, that takes away. Is that clear? The sin of the whole world. So, Jesus was not explaining. What was he explaining? Symbols? Huh? In Luke 24, was he explaining symbols? He was explaining words. And Hermes is not into words. He's into symbols. He was explaining words. We have stayed on that so far. That the reason why John was called the greatest was because of words. So, the key issue in the Old Testament will remain what? Primarily words. So words before symbols. And never forget, Jesus was not explaining words spoken by angels. Which of you have used to thank ministries? He was not explaining words spoken by angels. In fact, the writer of Hebrews makes a distinction between the words spoken by angels, Hebrews 2, 2 and 3, and the words of the gospel. And 1 Peter 1, 12 says, which things the angels desire to look into. Does it make sense? So don't make distinction. So when you are reading the Old Testament, say, angel, please hold on. Let me be done with the father. We can now look at, you know, when you study for exam, and you have finished reading the ones that are coming out in the exam, they now begin at the back page, how beautiful the cover page. Hey, that's the words of angels. If you want to study for exam, you now look at the back page, you are cramming the pictures. You will pass out of the school. So, the words of angels should be taken that way. To believe all that the prophet has spoken. Angels did not have the word of faith. Is it clear? Okay. Imagine someone bringing a teaching series on the fact that Michael said, hey, I was coming. An angel was sent. He could not do his job. So I came to help him. Every time there's an answer to your prayer, there's something in the spirit realm blocking your angel. Bring your head. I won't beat you. Just come. I won't beat you. You read the whole Old Testament and you held on to Angelus Festia. You saw that most of those symbols were given by angels. So how do you expect someone who is in the dark to interpret words? And they took those words from the words of Moses. Say, okay, what it means is this. You build a tabernacle. You bring it to us. If you dare not come with blood, you see your blood. That's not an utterance of faith. Is it very clear? That's why Paul will say that he turned to those things which he has not seen. Taste not, thought not. Can you see what the angel said? He said, lest I smite. Malachi. So you take from those words. Look at the angel said to Zachariah, pardon me. The guy said, I don't have a child. So you will not talk. What has that got to do with what you are saying? Who sent it? You won't talk. You have a child. And that guy too, from his utterance, he can't even exercise his faith. Yourself. But he knew what to do. Sailor. He knew what to do. Someone said, he said he should shut his mouth so that he will not speak doubt. Doubt is in the heart. You don't have to talk, it's in the heart. If the guy doubts, he just say, the angel just dealt with him. Nothing. The guy just dealt with him. Better. So always know the words of angels. So he explained to them. So what Jesus dealt with will be what? Actions? Or what? Events? No. Words. They may now be words about those events or words about the symbols. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Is it very clear? So Jesus interpreted what? Words. That's wrong. Acts 13:27. Or 7:26. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you fears God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. For they that dwell in Jerusalem and their rulers, because they knew him not, nor yet the voices of the prophet. The word there is like using the word dialect.
Something the prophet had in common.
Dialect is the word phoné, is sound. P-H-O-N-E. The voices of the prophet, or the dialect, which are read.
So, a common dialect was in all their writings. So in their reading events, experiences, they got lost in not picking out the words. That was why Jesus asked them, have you not read? Not that they didn't know those things, they were not able to make distinctions. So he mentioned the voices of the prophet. Again, just what is what we have said earlier. Let's see a couple of things. Romans 1. One, separate the gospel of God, verse 2, which he had promised afore by his prophet in the Holy Scriptures. Again, the word epagelia means to say something as a pledge. So we are particular about what in the prophet, their words. Words. Now don't forget, those words can be about experiences. But the issue is with the words. For those that say, well, on the 14th day of the 16th year. This is the 14th day of your 16th year. And they don't know that the year of the Jews, even from calendar year, this particular calendar came into existence how many years ago? Say, the fifth month. In the fifth month, Obadiah said, we are in the fifth month. Okay, so he mentions the scriptures. What is written? So we pay attention to what is written. What was said will be our study. Now the question will be, and that's what I want us to deal with today. I will start it. Then we'll try and give it a closure on Friday. Is, did the prophet of the Old Testament have the Holy Spirit? Now let me tell you something you probably have heard, that they had the Spirit upon them, but not in them. Let's take it literally. The Spirit is upon them, like a face cap. Upon them. So the Spirit just stays on your head. So when John just said, I saw the Spirit descend on him. So what it meant was that Jesus said, the Spirit just... And he carried the Spirit on his head. Just going to have the Spirit on him. For it's not in me, it's on me. So how does he now make them talk? He just slides down here. I know. Second Peter 1:19. The way you read English is your Yoruba mind. Upon. Upon. Second Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Okay? A more sure word of prophecy. Or, put it properly, the words of prophets. Okay? The words of prophet. More sure, that means something that has been done or established. Words of prophet. Because the word there is propheticos. Just like you have pneumaticos. Propheticos, P-R-O-P-H-E-T-I-K-O-S. Words by prophets. That's what they say. Well, until you take heed as you, unto a light that shines in darkness, unto the day dawn and day star arise in your heart. But for knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the scripture. Is that very clear? That what was said in the Old Testament, with any prophetization, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in the old time by the will of men,
or man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So, the sure word of prophecy here are the words spoken by who? So, therefore, he talks about they were moved, verse 21, by the Holy Ghost. To have a challenge, I'm going to ask that. When you say upon and not within, that is upon and not within. Now, again, we are particular about their writings, right? What they said, what they wrote. So we probably look at the word upon. What does it mean? Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. To preach. The word is epi, E-P-I. It refers to contact, not geography. Contact, not geography. A word is used, an action is in view. An action is in view. So when you hear it, when you now say, I preach, that is the upon he's talking about. It's not referring to a location upon me. So you now be looking at his head. No. You look at an action, not a location. Epi refers to happen, to occur. If I'm going to put it in today's language, I'll say, the Spirit of God happened to me. That would totally crash many theologies. It happened to me. Or the Spirit of God occurred to me. Or the Spirit of God hit me. It's not on the head. The same way he said, lay hands on, it refers to contact. Is it clear? You not lay hands on the head. So an action is in view. Look at Acts 1:8. Every time you read that, the effect is seen by others. You shall receive power, for the Holy Ghost is come on you. Acts 1:8. Come upon you, pardon me. Then Luke 24:49, the same thing, upon you. Then Acts 2:3. Sat upon each of them. Look at, every time you read it, the next thing is an action. So, really, what is referring to is the Spirit walking through them, not on the head. So, it is the outsider that will see the upon. Is it very clear? Acts 2:16. Oh, it is the onlooker, sorry, not the outsider. Acts 2:16. This is the reason why you won't find it used in the epistles. Because the epistles were not written for journalist purposes. They are doctrine. You can't use spirit happen when you are teaching believers what belongs to them in Christ. But when you are writing to Theophilus about things that happened, you will use spirit upon. Do you get it? Things that happened by the Spirit. Do you understand? Happenings, not location. You'll not be looking at the person's head. So obviously, John saw Jesus do something when he baptized him. He heard him say something. You know, John, the Bible says Jesus was speaking as he baptized him. John heard him say something. It's not that he just saw a dove. No. John heard Jesus. He heard him. Because there was a conversation between them. What did I just give?
A guy. Wow. Okay, I heard a sound from heaven.
You assume that John saw clouds open, just like Jehovah's Witness made us see. You guys are very smart.
No.
When you hear heavens open, it means the unseen. I saw things in the unseen. So there was an interaction in the spirit. Jesus was not passive at the baptism. He was not. Many of them,
when is God going to be slaughtered? When is God?
Let's see the passage, I guess. Look. Luke 3. Verse 21. When all the people were baptized, came to pass just being protected, and praying, the heaven was opened. So Luke recorded Luke 3:21 that Jesus was saying something.
Be very clear.
Huh? Luke 3:21. Jesus was saying something.
Well, it wasn't going like this.
He was saying something. The same way he spoke to the cross, he spoke off the cross, he spoke outside the grave. Do you get it? He kept speaking. Is it very clear? That's how you will pick out what happened. He said things. Just like on the cross.
You know, on my hands I commit my spirit.
It is finished. I'm done. Peter now said he continued speaking.
The words that were spoken ahead.
And he spoke till he rose. You know, every encounter they saw him in the resurrection, he was talking. He kept talking.
Are we there?
So look at this. Oh, Paul, let me get back to what I was saying. Acts 2:16. I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Then what would you see? They will what? Prophesy. So upon is an incident. Something that happened. Something happened. To preach the gospel. That's the upon. To preach. That's the upon. There's an action that is called the spirit upon. It is an action. It's an event. You shall be witnesses upon. Material. To bear evidence. They shall prophesy. Are you following this? Cloven tongues like as of fire. He sat upon each of them. And they began to what? So, the upon describes your action. Is it very clear? Is it very clear? It's not a location, no. It's an action. I've explained this to you over and over again. So, let's go to 1 Peter 1. So, our issue now is, so don't say the spirit in the Old Testament, the spirit is on their head. New Testament is in our spirit. Okay? Bless the Lord. Hallelujah, Sunday. 1 Peter 1:10. Of which salvation the prophets have inquired and said diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, certain what, or what manner of time, the spirit of Christ which was in them. This signify, when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. Now, we're going to have a small challenge here. Let's start from 10. We'll do some word study. Are you ready? We need a word study here. Then we'll just close and then we take it up from tomorrow. Look at verse 10. The prophets have inquired. So, they inquired. The word here is exetio. E-K-Z-E-T-E-O. E-K-Z-E-T-E-O. Zetio means to search. Ek means out, to search out, to search out. Now, these words will be seen in Luke 11:50 and 51. Luke 11:50 and 51.
may be required of this generation. It shall be required of this generation. Something that is required. Acts to be done. Acts 15:17. Romans 3:11. Hebrews 11:6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. He must come to God, must believe that He is, and He is the reward of them that diligently seek Him. Hebrews 12:17. Then He uses the word, get back to 1 Peter again, and search diligently, just re-emphasizing what He said earlier. Is the word again, EXE RAUNAO. It means to examine. So they were searching to examine. So where are we going? Just wait. Who prophesied of the grace that should come to you? So they prophesied, and we're going to find that in their prophecies there will be inquiries, requirements. So don't forget what we started with. There will be missing. Can you remember? So there will be a requirement in their prophecies. Are you following this? There will be we'll pick out these prophecies by the requirements. There will be a requirement. Of the grace that shall come to you. Verse 11 is key. Keep your eyes on the ball. Searching. Now, this is a word that requires some attention. Searching what or what manner of time? Searching what? Now, the second word used there is EREUNAO. Used 6 times. EREUNAO. John 5:39. You search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. You search. You read. John 5:39. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. John 7:52. Look, for out of Galilee arises no prophet. Look. To search and look. That is, look very well. 1 Corinthians 2:10. You want to look at the spirit referred to in those texts. 1 Corinthians 2:10. For God has revealed them unto us by His spirit, for the spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. The Revelation 2:23. So, a search means like to dig into something. To bring out a fact. We check that. So go back to 1 Peter 1:11. This will help us a bit. Further. 1 Peter 1:11, sorry. Then he says, searching what? Or what manner of time? The word what there is we. Or what, or which, referring to a person. Or what manner of time, two different things. Searching into who. Or what manner of time, which is opportunity, when. Who and when. Now when you use opportunity, you are talking about events. So, searching who and the event. Two things. So, we have narrowed down what they were prophesying to be what? Who and the event. Searching who and what manner of time. The word is kairos. Searching who and what manner of event. Which is opportunity. The spirit of Christ. Which was in them did signify. That's going to be some challenge because he says the Spirit of Christ was not available
until the new birth. Are you there? So if the Spirit of Christ was in them, plero, done. If you have the Spirit of Christ, then what were you prophesying about? So that means there's a syntax mixed up there. They could not have had the Spirit of Christ. Are you there? Look at the other things. He says, testified beforehand, or would this signify? The word there is deloo, D-L-O-O. Deloo means to tell of an event. 1 Corinthians 1:11. It has been declared unto me of you. Please look at the word, use of this word though. It has been declared to me of you. So, of me, of another. They told me something about someone else. The law. 1 Corinthians 3:13. For the day shall declare it. So, whoever is declaring cannot be talking about himself. Are you listening? Are you following this? 1 Corinthians 3:13. Colossians 1:8. Who declared unto us your love in the Spirit? Again, third party? Somebody else? Colossians 1:18. Hebrews 9:8. Jesus Christ. For the Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. So you are always pointing out to someone else or something else. Hebrews 12:27. Yet once more, signifying the removing of those things. Then 2 Peter 1:14. Knowing that shortly I shall put up this my tabernacle, even as the Lord Jesus has showed me. So the law will be to signify of what? Another. The Spirit of Christ cannot be signifying of his own suffering. Are you following this? So that means it will be the Spirit testifying of Christ. Are you listening? Follow through. So the who will be Christ. The when will be what? The sufferings and the glory. 1 Peter 1, testified beforehand, it means to witness, promaturomaia, spell it for you, promaturomaia, it means to witness before. Means before it happens. So the glory could not have occurred in talking about the glory. Are you listening? Are you listening? So, obviously, the Spirit referred to here, please pay attention, cannot be the born again human spirit. Cannot be the Spirit of adoption. Right? Am I making sense? We'll see a distinction shortly. Now, the word here, promaturoma, is used in Acts 20:26. Let's see the usage again. Acts 20:26. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. Again, third party. Acts 26:22. witnessing both to small and great, saying other things than that which the prophet and Moses did say should come. Galatians 5:3. Just write this down. Galatians 5:3. Ephesians 4:17. I'm almost closing. And 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Now notice something here, if you are paying attention. So it says in 1 Peter 1, go back there. The spirit which was in them did signify of Christ when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. So remember we said the what and who. So the spirit testified of the who, Christ, and then the when, the sufferings and what? The glory. So it's not the spirit of Christ, it's the spirit testifying of, let me see if you understand that. Okay. The spirit testifying of Christ. Now look at 12. Unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, as unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost where? Huh? Sent down, the word apostello, sent. So, that means the Holy Spirit was in the future in their prophecy. The Holy Spirit sent after they had prophesied. So they could not have been speaking by the same Spirit. Do you understand? The result of what they said was the Holy Spirit sent. Do you understand? They couldn't have been speaking by the same Spirit. Don't forget the word Holy Spirit. I beg you. Holy Spirit is not, must be used where? In where? Context. Look at John 7. I'm closing now. John 7, 38 and 39. So obviously they prophesied by the Spirit within them, not on their head. But what they did can be called Spirit upon. Do you understand? What they, by speaking, that is Spirit upon. Do you get it? John 7. Verse 37. If any man thirst, let him come unto me, Jesus said that, and drink. He that believes on me, as scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Verse 39. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. So this is a post-resurrection or an in-resurrection post-redemption reality. You couldn't have Romans 8:9, the Spirit of Christ in the Old Testament. I hope that is very clear. Because the Spirit of Christ is the Spirit of the Son. Is it clear? Uh-huh. So it's the Spirit testifying of Christ. So the question is, what was the Spirit? We'll find out. Romans 1 Corinthians 2:12. We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. This was after he had said, I had not seen, he had not heard, neither had entered into the heart of man, the things that God had prepared for them that love him. So he shows you a restriction in the Old Testament person. They say, we have received. So the Spirit of the Son is only received in the glory of Jesus' resurrection. All that is very clear. And that is the Spirit of Christ. So they did not have the Spirit of Christ in them. I hope that's clear. I'll see you tomorrow.